Meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. We have often heard the phrase, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. What this means, at least the way I'm interpreting it this morning and applying it, is that when the circumstances of life get tough and hard, those who are strong would become fully engaged and committed to continue to do what is right, while those who are not tough will quit and give up. The tough people mentioned here are not tough because they're rude or sarcastic or know how to win a fist fight. No, the tough here are trained in doing right even under difficult circumstances. As we look at the text of 1 John 2:18 through 27, the people of God are urged and commanded to abide in Christ, to abide in the teaching of Jesus Christ, who is the truth and the life. First, then, we see Jesus as the truth. 1 John 2:18 warns us of the teaching, the danger of the teaching of Antichrist, singular, and antichrists, plural. John tells his readers that we know these are the last days. The last days began with the first coming of Christ. And Jesus warned that there would be false messiahs who would try to deceive many. John goes on to say that the Antichrist will come, future tense, at least at the time of John's writing. But many antichrists have already come at the time of John's writing. So the one antichrist, the many antichrists. Being a lover of history as I am, if you look during the time period of the first century, there were somewhere between the number of maybe 12 to 15 individuals living in the first century who claimed that they were the Messiah. 12 to 15. Some before Jesus, some after Jesus. And so even in that context, people are seeing and hearing of people who claim to be Messiah. All the other ones, except the true Messiah, had a following for a while, tried to overthrow Rome. Rome caught them and summarily killed them. And so in a sense, throughout the first century, people were hearing all along about claims. The moment they were executed, check that box, he's not it. This passage is warning us not to be deceived by the teaching of these antichrists. What John spells out in this passage is that we must believe in the biblical Jesus. Just any version of Messiah will not do, for only the biblical Christ can save us. This passage warns us about false teachings of the Antichrist. In Greek, anti can either mean against or in place of. Same thing in English. Anti-American is somebody who's against America. But if we think about Antichrist as being either against or in place of Christ, any of these candidates during the first century were trying to make a claim that they were the Christ. So in a sense, they were both against Christ and purporting to be in place of Christ. John in his second epistle, verses 7 through 9, says this about Antichrist. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. John is here contrasting the teaching of the Antichrist versus the true doctrine of Christ, who is both God and man. And so both in 1 John 2 and in 2 John, if you have the Son, you have the Father as well. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father either. Jesus says elsewhere in John 14, 3 through 6, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. So we are called as Christians to proclaim the identity of Jesus Christ, the one who is fully God, fully man, and the only way to the Father. It is through him that we know the truth of God, the truth about ourselves, and thus we can have assurance of our salvation. John then relates in 1 John 2:19 these words, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out, so that it would be shown that they were all not of us. What John is speaking of here is a group who once professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but then departed with some false teacher, some false Messiah. And they're going out and they're separating from the Christian church shows that they not only didn't persevere, but they were not really of the true company of God's people. Although John does not specifically state the details of this false teaching, he does drop hints about the general nature of this false teaching. Notice 1 John 2:22. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. The Christian is to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the one who came in the flesh and who is also God. Apart from this teaching about Jesus Christ, we can have no fellowship with God the Father. John is pointing out why it is tough to live, abide, and remain as a Christian. The going gets tough because of the presence of false teaching, which confuses people, which clouds people's visions about the real truth of the gospel. This passage speaks of this doctrinal test that we can have assurance of our salvation by trusting in the real Lord Jesus, not some other charlatan, not some fake Messiah, but only the Lord Jesus. John Stott makes this comment about the need for Christians to persevere in their faith. Quote, while salvation is not the reward of endurance, but because endurance is the hallmark of the saved. If the false teachers had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. This is stated as a principle. Those who are of us stay with us. Future and final perseverance is the ultimate test of a past participation in Christ. So the message that John has for us is the saints will persevere. But at the same time, he also makes the principle the saints must persevere. It's like a 26-mile marathon. You can tell yourself, I'm going to make it. And you ought to. But at the same time, you also have to tell yourself, I must make it. I must. This brings me to my second point, which is that Christian believers must abide in him who is our eternal life. Having distinguished between false teachers and true believers, John now gives us two safeguards which will protect us from being led astray by false teaching. In order to abide in Christ as our eternal life, we must continue in that teaching which we have heard from the beginning. John tells us in 1 John 2:24 and 25, "As for you, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life." The apostles' teaching is that which they have heard from the beginning, the original message that Christ himself authorized his apostles to proclaim. This message has not changed and would not change. We must let it abide in us. In fact, as the New Testament books that were written were being considered by the Christian church in the first century, one of the key tests for why we should accept this book, was it written by an apostle or a close associate of an apostle? If it did, it passed muster. And so John is telling the people of God, that which you have heard from the beginning, which the apostles proclaimed, that continue in. John Stott again makes this pertinent comment. Christian theology is anchored not only to certain historical events culminating in the saving work of Jesus, but to the authoritative apostolic witness to those events. And so the New Testament church clung to Christ-authorized representatives, the apostles, and the message that they proclaimed. To say that Christ died is a historical fact, but to say that Christ died for our sins is the correct interpretation of what happened at the cross of Calvary. This is the message we have heard from the beginning. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. One can only know that Christ died by mere observation if we were there on Good Friday. But to know that Christ died for our sins by believing this true interpretation of Christ's death is a very revelation that God has given to his apostles. The one you can observe by the outward eye, the other you only know by divine revelation. As a result of abiding in this faith, God the Father and his divine and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, through their work of love for us, we are redeemed and we are counted as God's children and receive the gift of eternal life. John says in John 17, verse 3, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." We have come to know God through his Son, Jesus Christ, and by Christ's death, resurrection for us, we receive the gift of eternal life. Against such deceivers, believers also have a second safeguard against false teaching, which is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:26 and 27 say this, "These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things. And this is true and not a lie. And just as it has taught you, abide in him." The anointing of the Holy Spirit is the presence of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and souls of Christian believers, which again guards us from being deceived by false teaching. And so how do we know that the gospel, this Jesus, is true? We know it by the apostolic writings, and we know it by the Holy Spirit convincing us that this word and message is true. These verses should not be interpreted to mean that believers don't have any need of teaching other than the Holy Spirit. Because if we take the whole counsel of God, for instance, from Ephesians 4, we know that God has given teaching and teachers to his church. But what this verse in 1 John 2:26 does mean is that ultimately the Holy Spirit is the one who takes the written word of God and the proclamation of the true Christian gospel and convinces us that it is true. The Bible was an outward word. The Holy Spirit confirms that outward word in our hearts. And thus we are kept from doctrinal confusion. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come and have an abiding and permanent presence within the heart of believers. What we must see with these two things, the apostolic writings and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, is that they safeguard us so that we hear the witness of the apostles concerning Christ's saving work, and the presence of the Holy Spirit harmonizes with the apostolic message and keeps us from error. The Word of God and the Spirit of God work in harmony with one another. And so the Word of God is the objective Word written down for us in Holy Scripture, which teaches us the truth as God has revealed it in Christ. And the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, gives us conviction and persuades us, even during our moments of doubt, that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Also, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit also bear witness that false teaching is false, which proposes any other way of salvation. So we must acknowledge, believe, and pray that God work in us by His Word and by His Holy Spirit to keep us in the truth as it has been revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is both God and man and our Lord and Savior. So when the going gets tough, the saints of God must keep going, keep believing, keep abiding in Him who is the truth and the life. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word and Gospel as it has been revealed in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us this day to trust in Christ as Savior and Lord, and help us to bear witness to His holy name. These things we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.